I just can't have any social life right now.
Don't worry about it. We're just having coffee. We'll be antisocial.
Hello and welcome to our February espresso episode of the Damn Fine Cup of Culture podcast. I'm joined by Alan. Hey, Alan.
Hello.
And Alan has basically just beaten my ass in a couple of games of Codenames and other games that we played online. So he's got a big smile on his face and I'm really grumpy. So let's see what we get out of this. So, Alan, we're here to discuss a film that we've both seen recently. You want to perhaps say a couple of things about the film?
Yeah, I mean, the title of the film is Holy Spider. It's a sort of current release at the moment from an Iranian director, Ali Abbasi. And I think, you know, first thought about it, I thought it was a really good film. I mean, was that sort of what you felt as well?
It's a bit different with me. I think I was a bit disappointed, but it's not that I would say it's a bad film. I think it's a film that does certain things very well. It's other things that I'm more kind of dubious about. It's, let's perhaps, just for the people who don't know what the film is about, it's a film by the, I think he's Swedish-Iranian, right? Filmmaker Ali Abbasi, whose last film was Border, a very strange kind of fantasy-ish, thrillerish, drama-ish, weird, weird film. This one here is about a real-world serial killer in the Iranian city of Mashhad who targeted prostitutes and killed, I think, 16 women from 2000 to 2001, right? It's slightly fictionalized. There's a female journalist in the film that investigates the killings and goes undercover and who finally leads the police to the killer. I believe she didn't actually exist. She's somewhat based on real character, but that's basically made up for the film, more or less, mostly, I would say. So let's perhaps start with this. I mean, going in, had you seen Abbasi's previous film? Had you seen Border?
Yes, no, that's the one of his I have seen, Border, and I think he described it really well. And to some extent, that sort of strange, it's a strange fantasy, almost like slightly grotesque fantasy in places. And I think that made me very wary about this film going in, because I knew the subject matter was a serial killer. And I do feel quite jaded now when it comes to sort of serial killers in movies.
Yeah.
In partly because of the level of cliche that now exists in their presentation, that they are incredibly sophisticated to the level of being almost Batman villains. Like, you know, and I think there was the sort of TV series and a lot of the sort of Hannibal-related stuff plays into this. And on the other side, they're played as the sort of the worst kind of social outcast loser. So that has also become a cliche, that this is, you know, you could spot a serial killer from a picture because they look like an incredibly inbred lunatic.
And
those are the two cliches, and the moment a film sort of delves into that, I kind of just feel like I've seen it so many times before. And also I felt after Borderland that he would probably play into sort of the overly grotesque, that would be sort of in something very strange, but you know, that would be the type of film that I'd be going into. And I think what really impressed me about the film is that it avoided a lot of that. And I think it really, you know, the sort of cliche is of the sort of like the blandness of evil. I think it did display that, like, the serial killer is a sort of slightly hopeless man, but not an absolute outcast reject. He is someone who has a loving family, and you believe he would have a loving family. He's someone who has quite a support network, and it all feels credible, but at no point does it make it feel like he's a serial killer, and that's really weird because he's in this environment. What the film, I think, does really well across the board is paint, to some extent, why he is how he is, and how it's a society that's made him how he is, and it is allowing him to operate, which is something I don't think I've seen that much in serial killer films before. And I found that really interesting, that you know, you have this fundamentally misogynistic society that then, you know, it doesn't point the finger and say he's innocent, society's guilty. It just presents this this sort of canvas of a whole society that, because of the poison of ideas like misogyny, ideas of purity, ideas of martyrdom, will create someone who behaves in this way. And I found that fascinating.
I definitely see what you mean. I mean, there's definitely some stuff going on here thematically. I do think the film also works as a thriller, and I'm not into, I think possibly the thriller elements are the ones that I liked less, because I feel there the film is very well crafted, but also in spite of the Iranian setting, which is something I haven't seen before, I do think that a lot of the tropes that are there are not too dissimilar from what we've seen. Even I think the society that we see, you know, where basically the police, the justice system, basically the public at large, a lot of them seem to see him as, you know, doing necessary work, basically cleaning the streets of the riffraff and the impure, as you said. And I'm pretty sure I've seen that even with, you know, places like New York or whatever. And strangely, I mean, I was trying to come up with films or stories that have similar themes. And the one that I came up with in the end was, I don't know whether you've seen London Road, which was this musical. This is, we'll already sound weird, musical about the Ipswich murders, where also you had sex workers getting killed by someone. And you have this very similar theme of, you know, the society there who obviously they don't want murders on their street, but neither do they want sex workers on their street. So there's this element almost of gratitude that this guy takes it onto himself to do what others just think. I think that theme I'd seen before. And yes, here we have it in the context of a kind of a theocracy, basically, where it's all in religious terms, or the framing is religious. But the theme itself, I think, is not too dissimilar. And I also thought that other than the kind of surface level, this is set in Iran and everything, a lot of the scenes I feel we could have seen in other films as well.
I mean, I guess, you know, there's you know, human stories have a universal quality to them. I do think it is interesting. There's sort of elements of this story that I don't feel peculiarly Iranian, but I think give you an insight into the level of misogyny and the sort of patriarchy in the society. And I think one of the things that's really interesting when it comes to the lead actress in this, the sort of journalist who is investigating the serial killer, is you get this slight backstory that her career has been slightly set back because she refused to do sexual favors for an editor, but because she's still a single woman, the fact that conversation was even had seems to have ended up with her being the one that's been sort of slightly slandered. She's got like a slightly bad reputation. And that, I think, gave you a fascinating insight into a level of power within the society. And so I think there was a bit that you sort of saw that felt unique a little bit to the society, without also saying that these are universal ideas, the universal abuse of power. And this was something I think maybe I've mostly been dabbling in the trashy end of serial killer films anyway. So anything that made it more interesting had this sort of, did something I hadn't seen before, I really enjoyed. And also, although I think it is pointing the fingers at a problem in society, it isn't condemning the society. There isn't something where they go, well, the problem with this society is those three people over there who run it and they're evil. It sort of conveys to you that because these are pervasive ideas that are spread all the time, that characters you're presented to who are very nice, who are very, in some respects, very human and relatable, buy into this and suddenly have an element to which they can be very kind, but actually they kind of like the fact that there's a serial killer about that's doing the work that the police aren't doing.
Absolutely.
And I think that then gives you a very good insight into a society that the serial killer operates in.
I mean, I think the thing in that respect that worked best for me was probably the way that society around him reflects what he's doing. There's this scenes towards the end where the journalists, they did an interview with his family. He's got a son who's probably around 13 years old from the looks of it. And the son basically, you know, he very earnestly tells them that, you know, how many people are basically in their surroundings in a neighborhood have already asked him, when is he going to take up the good work that his father had done? And where he kind of reenacts a killing on his 5-year-old sister who plays along as if this is just a normal game. And there's, I think at this point in the film, I feel what I really liked was it's not heavy-handed there. It doesn't foreground the comment. It just presents you with that. It doesn't have to comment on that because it's shocking enough as it is without being gratuitous. Really, there's society that sees this as totally normal and good. And what I found interesting there, I felt that there were almost overtones of perhaps In Cold Blood, the Truman Capote story, or a short film about killing, the Kieslowski, in that obviously this is a society that needs its prostitutes in a way, in the sense that, you know, that there are men who want sexual favors, so they are going to be prostitutes. The men are not going to be accused in this society because it's all the prostitutes' fault, but obviously there have to be prostitutes because there are men with these needs. In a way, it's almost this kind of society that produces something that it can then put all the guilt and blame on. And I think with the killer himself, it's a bit similar. You know, they want this killer to exist, to clean the streets of what they think is, you know, the impure, but they still have to punish him. So it's all basically put onto the scapegoats, the prostitutes, the killer. And that is something that I found quite chilling in the end.
I think especially, you know, you get to the end and it is just incredibly chilling.
Mm-hmm.
And after watching this film, I did go, and it is available on YouTube, I watched the sort of documentary, and along came a spider, it's called, mm-hmm. which is very much covering the same story, and I think to some extent inspired this film. And I think towards the end, and especially the scene with the child reenactment of his father's murders, is that's almost a recreation pretty much straight from the documentary.
Oh, wow.
So when you watch the documentary, I think the film hits home even more, that you see mm-hmm. how there is a level of sort of reality to it, that this is something that really happened. And again, I think it's often when you delve into the media approach to serial killers, especially if it's like a real life story, it's something that's happened. Those sort of cliches, the glamorization, the let's make the serial killer this very cinematic monster, is even more objectionable.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting here is it just sidesteps that. It just doesn't play in that game. And I think if you watch the documentary, I think you get an insight into very much what this film is about, in that it doesn't want to lecture you. It just is showing something in a dramatic way that the documentary shows in quite a factual way, mm-hmm. which I find both really powerful, and they're both very good companion pieces.
Okay, yeah, and I'll have to look out for that on YouTube, you said, right?
I think it was on YouTube. I think hopefully still is, but it's definitely sort of around. And Along Came a Spider,
mm-hmm.
it's called. And I would definitely recommend that.
I remember when it came out, I think when they showed it at the festivals, I remember that the first couple of things I read about it were quite negative. And also some of the critics who talked about it, they found the film rather exploitative in the way it shows violence against women, against these prostitutes. I mean, basically, we see the killings. I don't think that it's not like they're gory. They're definitely not, but they are brutal. They are starkly shown, and they are definitely not, you know, there's nothing thrilling about watching these murders happen, which kind of raises the question about exploitation. I know that, what's her name? Wendy Eyde, I think, of The Guardian. She said that she felt the murders as they were shown, for one thing, do we still need to see that much violence against women in films? But the other thing was also she felt that the murders were quite dehumanizing. And that surprised me, because that's definitely not an effect they had on me. I think for me, they were horrific, but not gratuitous. They were not exploitative. What was it like for you? I mean, where do you stand with respect to this whole discussion about violence against women in film? And especially then in this film, the way the murders are shown.
I think in this film, it's a real strength, in the sense that I didn't feel like it was playing cinematic tricks to then make it overly emotional or manipulative emotionally. It is very much showing you the violence on a very human scale, I think. Mm-hmm. And another thing I think it does really well is that it doesn't present the sex workers as angels. but makes them incredibly sympathetic. So at the opening of the film, you're following someone and you realize, yes, she is a drug addict, but probably has to be a drug addict to get through this. She has a kid. That there's something very almost like, you know, the old sort of British kitchen sink dramas. This is, it's mm-hmm. operating on this level when she's sort of taken somewhere by the guy who is going to kill her. It's just a very realistically rubbish flat. It's not a serial killer's like parlor or anything like that. And I think I found that incredibly powerful in the sense that if you are telling the story, you do need to show a level of ugliness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never felt that it became gratuitous on that score. I think it showed it as very brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But again, not in a way that felt, look how shockingly brutal we can present these images.
Mm-hmm.
There was something really, I'm trying to think of the right word, in the sort of presentation of a death, that you had a very seemingly quite low-key scene between a man and a woman that then becomes a murder.
Mm-hmm.
That itself is quite powerful, that you've got, there was one of the sort of later murders, I think it's even the last murder that gets presented in it, that really is this sort of, he feels like quite an awkward man and she's doing her best to make him feel less awkward, but also getting impatient. These are all sort of, it's a very human level of interaction,
mm-hmm.
but you know that it is leading to a murder.
Mm-hmm.
And that is sort of horrible.
Yeah.
And it presents to you, I think, a feeling of danger on a human level, rather than danger in the sense that the camera is the eye of the serial killer as it stalks the person through the streets, which is this sort of gratuitous empowering of the serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
And it never did that. And another film it reminded me of, which is a definite plus, is I felt it reminded me of the film Memories of Murder, the Korean film, mm-hmm. in the sense that he is on so many levels, he's quite rubbish as a killer.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not being caught.
Yeah.
And then that means you do become angry with the system. I think both films are very angry at the fact that because of failures in society, it's the reason this person isn't being caught.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you sort of feel that as you're watching this, that what he's doing, I guess watching it, having watched the sort of criminal side of, you know, the forensic science side of crime dramas, he should be caught in 5 minutes. He's rubbish. Mm-hmm. He does all this stuff, and if people were really doing their job, he would be caught.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is a really interesting way of sort of, it is showing you something that is brutal and horrific and makes you angry. But I didn't feel that I was getting angry at the media or the presentation of it as being gratuitous.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting angry at the whole system that allowed this to happen.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely agree with you on that one, yeah.
I think that's a real sort of strength of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, no, I that's one of the things that I think coming out sort of blew me away. I think especially having gone in with sort of quite low expectations.
Mm-hmm. I mean, personally, I think that the discussion of violence on film, very often it's also affected by, you know, what do people enjoy watching, what do they not enjoy watching, and then basically I think there's a certain strand of film criticism where basically depictions of violence per se are bad because it's whatever, dehumanizing, exploitative, whatever, where it's not about, is it warranted in this case? Is it warranted in this way? A bit like, you know, with sex, there's this whole strand of movie discussion where some people say, you know, any kind of depiction of sex should not be in film because it's always exploitative. And I do think that is too facile. I also would say that here, the film is responsible. It deals responsibly with violence and its own depiction of violence. And I think there I would agree with you. I think the way it does it is it's effective at that. It makes you angry and it makes you sad, but it doesn't make you think, oh, wow, it's not Brian De Palma or anything like that. Not at all. I mean, what I would possibly agree with in some of the reviews that I've read was, I mean, the film does focus a lot on the serial killer. He is, I think, other than the fictional journalist, the serial killer is basically the second lead of the film, practically. And I think I would agree with you. It does a good job of not turning him into a monster, not turning him into a victim, but it is nuanced in what it does with him. But there's the question, you know, it does spend a lot of time on the killer. It does have good, nice scenes with the prostitutes that end up being killed, but it spends much less time with them. It is not as interested in making them specific. I mean, as you say, you know, one of them is a junkie, has a kid, but I think these are also all tropes that we've seen, you know, the prostitute who's not just a cliche. Obviously, you give that prostitute a kid, but they have very few lines. They have not much in the way of dialogue. We see more of their parents or families, but also there we don't see that much. So I think that point I would agree with to some extent. Why do we need another film that gives that much time to a misogynist killer and that little time to the women he's killed?
I mean, I think the one thing I would say is that it's giving time to the killer because that's part of the sort of point it wants to make,
mm-hmm.
that this killer cannot be an aberration.
Mm-hmm.
I think dramatically presenting his world to show you that his world is the problem, and they can't just, you know, oh, we've killed him now, the problem's gone away because he was a freak that did this. I think there is something, you know, the going back to sort of the banality of evil, I think there is something in, mm-hmm. in focusing on him to show that. And I think, you know, there are, you know, we do spend time with the victims' families. I found those incredibly powerful moments. Like you have a mother that is absolutely condemning her daughter for what she had become before she gets killed. And then the father, as an aside, says she does cry herself to sleep every night. And I think, again, you're seeing this insight in a world where people have to practice a double standard, where they have to sort of emotionally invest in the sort of morality that is enforced,
mm-hmm.
and the sort of emotions that go against that then become suppressed and hidden. So I felt those were sort of very powerful moments, but I think it did justify centering on the serial killer,
mm-hmm.
which again, going in with something that I was incredibly wary of. And I think it's an incredible performance. And I was lucky enough when I saw the film that it was presented, there was a Q&A with the lead actress in
okay.
it. And she was talking about the presentation. And she did say that, you know, this is a Iranian actor who basically is ending his career in Iran by doing this film. That, you know, his decision to do this is not one that the authorities are going to be too happy about. And it'll stop him having, he's had a long career in Iranian cinema and theater, and this will basically make that very hard for him to do. And so still choosing it. I think what the Q&A was very good at was presenting this as also a political film, that by choosing to tell this story, by focusing on this, it is angry at the politics of Iran. And I think the lead actress in it, who is someone who was once working in Iranian media and basically had to flee the country for moral reasons. So she's now based in France and has recently become a French citizen. And she was actually working on this film on the production side of things, was not due to be in it. She, her career in France is a lot to do with now casting and production and behind the scenes. And she was involved in that with this film. And then the woman who was going to play the journalist, who still has connections with Iran, has still worked in Iran, she pulled out not long before filming started, mm-hmm. because of these fears, because there would be pushback, not just on her, but people that would be associated with her. And she just felt, I can't do this film. It's too much of a risk. Which is when she basically, having been involved in the production, said, well, I'll play her. I'll act this. So, I thought that was very interesting that she'd sort of come on in that sort of, it was literally days before production was due to start.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, she said, well, this film's got to get made. I will play this part. Another thing that she said, which I thought was really interesting, was focusing on the location. So they were going to film in Turkey. Again, they were very close to filming. And then the Turkish authorities denied them the right to film.
Mm-hmm.
So the feeling was, and certainly the Q&A, her feeling was that this was pressure from the Iranian government.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they ended up filming in Jordan,
mm-hmm.
And again, it's sort of that sort of political side to things. I think it is a political film. It is showing you the system there. And I think I got a lot, you know, it helps. A Q&A sometimes helps you get more out of a film afterwards because they're talking about stuff you didn't realize, the angles you didn't see. And there's definitely something in this that, having seen the Q&A, I appreciated the film a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that I would have been interested in hearing that as well, but I guess that's the problem of living in Switzerland and not in London. We don't get these people all that often. I mean, I would definitely agree. There's a lot to the film, even if it didn't quite work for me all the time. I definitely think it's a well-crafted film. It's an intelligent film. I would agree it's a political film. And obviously in the current situation with what's been happening in Iran over the last couple of months, it is definitely a very relevant film. Though, as I said, you know, I also felt that it didn't feel so kind of geographically or cultural specific as to not feel relevant to our world as well, where, as I said, you know, I think London Road, the killings there, the Ipswich murders, that was also just about 10 years ago, yeah. Right? And you have some of the very same sentiments there about, you know, basically cleaning the streets of the riffraff and the ones that we don't want, the undesirable ones.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the anger in the film and the politics of the film, there is a universality to that that I was a big fan of it. And I think more so than coming out of Border, I am now very interested in what the director does next.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think this should be quite interesting whether he wants to focus more on Iran or, I guess, you know, just go elsewhere. You know, that's I'm intrigued as to what they do next.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, I think that probably about wraps up our discussion of Holy Spider, a film where, even if we don't quite agree on our assessment of the film, it's definitely worthwhile checking out. As you said, the documentary, Along Came a Spider, right?
Yeah, and Along Came a Spider, that's well worth it.
And even if any of our listeners heard the reviews and thought, okay, this is not for me, obviously if violence against women and sexualized violence against women is not something for you, then you might want to avoid this film. But I do think that the film is definitely better than some of the reviews it received. So it's definitely worth checking out if you have the chance. So, yeah, that's been it for us for this month for the Espresso podcast. Thank you very much, Alan, for talking to me about Holy Spider.
Yeah, no, I like I said, it's probably been my favorite film so far this year. And luckily, film criticism there are no winners and losers in film criticism, so it doesn't continue on from playing games and things going hodisly wrong.
Absolutely. So yeah, thank you as always to our listeners, and we will be back very soon with another damn fine cup of culture. Goodbye.
Bye.